Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
What if a simple balloon could teach some of life's biggest lessons? In this heartwarming episode, author Deborah Magna shares the inspiration behind her latest children's book, Flight of the Balloon, a whimsical and meaningful story designed to spark imagination while teaching important values. Follow the journey of a traveling balloon as it moves from child to child, helping each one learn lessons about responsibility, kindness, even how to apologize in thoughtful and creative ways. Through lighthearted storytelling and relatable situations like dealing with chores or learning to appreciate family, this book offers gentle guidance without ever feeling like a lesson. Deborah Magna, now 73 and a lifelong storyteller, brings decades of creativity and life experience into her writing. With Flight of the Balloon, she continues her mission to create stories that bring families together and remind us of the power of reading as a shared experience. Whether you're a parent, grandparent, or simply love meaningful children's stories, this conversation is full of warmth, imagination, and inspiration. Perfect for family reading time and a reminder that it's never too late to follow your dreams. We welcome back to This Week in America, Deborah Magna, author of Flight of the Balloon. Deborah, a pleasure having you back with us. Thank you for joining us on the program.
Well, it's good to be here again, Rick, and thank you for inviting me.
It is our pleasure talking about Flight of the Balloon, the third book in this in the series of children's books that you've written. Let's start with what was the moment or the idea that inspired you to turn something as simple as a balloon into a story that teaches children such meaningful life lessons. Where did the idea of the balloon come from?
Well, the balloon was the way to get the message to them. The concept was I was cleaning the bathroom and I started to laugh because that was my chore and I hated it. And I just thought, why is she punishing me like this with the bathroom? So what I did was I incorporated it into a scenario, a remedy, and a lesson, which the balloon follows each child, one that takes care of the gift shop, one that helps his father in the stables, and the other one just is asking for a cookie before dinner, which she knew wasn't going to happen. Basically, that's it. I kind of take something or I see a child doing something and I think, oh, that shouldn't be happening. You know, so I create around what I see or what I have done.
You know, Flight of the Balloon is this book by Deborah Magna, M-A-G-N-A, book available at Amazon, wherever books are sold. Link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You take issues that children would encounter. Sometimes you see children's stories and they're fantasy. A child is never going to face this. You take these simple issues that children encounter and you break them down in a way. It's not a lesson. It's just a very enjoyable story that ends up containing a lesson. Talk about going about doing that, because you just take things in a child's life, like asking for a cookie before a meal, and you know you're not going to get one, and turn that into a story. Talk about developing that, where that concept came from, because these are really meaningful stories because they deal with children in real-life situations.
Well, they just come to me. Like I said, I watch children. I have several nieces, great nieces and nephews, and sometimes watch them. And they don't share or they don't understand why they are not being able to be included. So I just felt the way to apologize once they see that it's not punishment, that it's for a reason they are given this chore to do, ends up being a remedy for them to understand. Kids sometimes don't understand why they're doing something. Parents, it doesn't, you know, they go, why do I got to do this? Or I want to play on Saturday. And the parents have to, you know, like in the gift shop, if she doesn't clean the shelves or she doesn't help out to make it look presentable, no one's going to buy in the family gift shop, which means she's going to lose a lot of extras that the family can afford. Same with the stables. If you don't clean the stable out and you don't keep the horses maintained, you will eventually have sick horses,
Yes.
and nobody's going to buy that. And this is what they learn. The balloon comes, and it has one of the stories already on it, and they decide that that's a good way for them to apologize to their parents. And that's exactly what they do. And putting the note on the balloon, they give it to their parents, and the apology is accepted, and they keep it maybe a day or two and then let it go. And it ends up in somebody else's yard with a similar problem. And they decide to use the balloon as a, I'm sorry.
Yes.
So.
And the balloon ties everything together. It's an amazing concept that's pulled off remarkably well by Deborah Magna, our guest on the program. Magna, if you're Googling, book available at Amazon, all the usual places. We'll talk about that as we go through our conversation. Are any of these stories, experiences, anything that you went through in real life that you either witnessed or maybe went through as a child yourself?
There's a couple of them, yeah. The flight of the balloon is one because you when you're given chores, you're just, oh man, this is such a drag. I could be out doing this or
Ah,
that.
yes.
You get angry, and then by then your mom knows you're angry, and she gets angry, and then everybody's just kind of like not talking. So the balloon gave me something to give to the parent as an apology. Basically, most of my stories, there's a couple of them that have been ones that haven't been published yet that are true stories that happened to me. So I just take that and turn it into a story. I can't explain how I do it. I get the situation first, and then I feel like, how can I make this so that they understand childlike how to fix it? And
Yes.
then once they fix it, they got to find a way to learn from it. Like, it's not a punishment. It's basically, if you don't take care of things and you don't manage to keep them somewhat healthy, like in the animals, you're not going to be able to live and maintain what the parents want you to learn: responsibility, being able to be on time, to do things in a timely manner. It's to teach them that the parents love them and want them to turn into responsible, healthy adults.
It's
And that basically is what they should be getting from the story in their own mind way.
well, and I let
You
me
can't
ask you
just come
about
out.
that, the mechanics of that. Once you get this concept, how long does it take you to work it to the point where, okay, this is ready now to be published in the book? And by that, I mean breaking it down in a child's language in a meaningful way, that you get the message across without using too big of words or getting off on a tangent that the child won't understand. How long does it take to
Right.
get this book written, broken down in a child's language that's meaningful for them?
So it's like a day or two, I have a story written.
Ah,
It it,
fantastic.
it it comes together once I get what I want to do. And then I kind of like just think of things I saw or things that happened to me, and then put it together with a story that not so difficult for children to understand. Your mom probably told you a million times, don't ride your bike in the street, and you thinking that. But if someone else's mother goes, don't ride your bike in the street, all of a sudden you get the concept. So when someone's reading this story to them, or they're reading it by themselves, or it's a good way for the child to practice their reading to a grandma, grandpa, relative, other friend. They seem to understand it better. It's not black and white. It's not the mother saying, do this,
Yes.
or it's do this because this is why I want you. I love you. I want you to be healthy. I want you to understand parents really should tell kids more information that they give them when they want them to do something. Yeah. And I'm not saying they need, kids should be, you know, told, but they should, it should be asked even, you know, if you don't take care of your cat, it's going to die. You know, do you want that? You need to, you know, feed it. You need to take care of it. Same with yourself. You need to understand why you're brushing your teeth and washing your face, because you need to be healthy and clean. But, you know, like I said, when somebody else says it to you, you think, I'm not doing that. It's a command. It's not a do it because we love you and we want you to be a healthy, responsible person. That's what I hope the kids get from the story, is that it's not a punishment. It's a way for them to learn how to do things in a timely manner and how to present the situation in a better outlook. Instead of being angry, they should think, well, you know, maybe we'll have a little extra money and go to the park or something. You know, it's for their livelihood.
You know, it's interesting because there's something a parent can learn as well in how you go about getting this message across. And the fact that sometimes when you say don't, the child wants more information than don't. Why are you saying don't? And you provide that in a way that's entertaining, that resonates with the child. And I think in many cases with the parent as well. Is that some of the feedback you're getting, that parents enjoy the message as much as the children do?
Yes, I have gotten quite a few reviews that said that it helped me do for their child something that they were in. That's what I want. I just want the parents to sit back, and I want them to see, remember what it was like when they did that, when they were given chores. I mean, did they do them hostility? Did they just do them like as a matter of fact with no concept of what they were trying to learn? I mean, that's how I learn.
Yes.
You know, I had certain chores to do, and sure, my big thing was we had a skating rink, and on Fridays, if you weren't at Gordy Howe's skating rink, you freaking lost all the information that was going on in school. So I had to clean the bathrooms and certain things to do before I could go, and that was my objective. Was, you know, now I understand why I'm doing this, because then my mom and dad feel I was responsible, and I'll be responsible in other things, like making sure I'm out of there on time, being right home after it. You know, I mean, it's not just for that thing. It's the whole scope of what they are learning, I feel. You know, it's not just what's in the story. If they think about it as they go through the day or their life, they're going to think, oh, I get it now.
Yeah, it makes sense to them.
I know why I'm doing this at this time.
Yes, they can see now that why you're doing it and the result. It's not punishment. There's a reason why you're doing this. Something else that comes to mind, and you sort of pick this up in reading some of the reviews, it's sort of a great opportunity for parents to slow things down a little bit and to sit down with the child and rediscover, and maybe discover if it's for the first time, the power of reading, that time that you can spend with the child. Talk about the impact of that and how that really bonds a family together, doesn't it, when you are able to spend this time together, quiet time together, reflecting on this story.
Right. I used to read to both my children. And my son really liked it. We had a book called Gold Bug, and the story would read, and then he would have to find where the gold bug is. And he really enjoyed it. It was something that we could do together.
Yes.
Fun, yet still learn how to pick out things. Where's the car? Where's Gold Bug in the car? You know, where's Gold Bug here? But the way that I feel that the children is getting just more than learning the lesson in the book. They're having a quiet time, a bonding time with the parent or whoever they're reading with or to. That is more important, actually, just even doing something for them. They like the closeness, the comfort of being home. You can laugh with them, make them feel special. It's a special time for them. And I just feel parents nowadays need more family time. Whether they read or what they do, it's broken down. It's just broken down yearly. And people need to look at their children and say, I have these kids. I'm responsible for the way they turn out. And if I don't start young, like even giving them a hug and saying, oh, I love you, or something that is funny to them, they don't grow up even feeling loved. This is a way to feel that they're benefiting in all aspects of a unity.
It's interesting when you talk to some people, they can recall being read to as a child by their parents and the laughter they had and sharing the stories, and it brings all of that to mind. You can really, storytelling's powerful, isn't it? I mean, you can shape a child's character by just sitting 10 minutes, 15 minutes and reading a book and talking about it.
And it is. And at some point they can even say to the child, well, what do you think? What do you think this is about? You know, what? How did you get this out of here? And not only that, but sometimes when you're reading to a child or an eight-year-old, let's just say older child, is reading something, you find out other things through them. Like, you know, you'll be talking and they'll say something, and then you find out that so-and-so's kid got expelled for, you know, whatever.
Yes.
Because they're in their comfort zone. And they decide, well, I guess I'll tell my mom this. They don't know why. It's just they feel comfortable and they're relating something. The chores are what they have to do, like after school or Saturday or Sunday. And it's amazing what a child's brain will come up with just being like held under the parent's arm or whatever and snuggling and reading. It gives them imagination. They can put themselves in that situation. And reading is the best way for them to learn. They want to be a ballerina. There's a book for that. You read it. You find out what you need to do. You want to be an astronaut? You get the book. You read who was an astronaut, what they had to do, what it entails. The imagination, I feel that if a child wants to paint the sky pink, paint it pink.
Yes.
As long as you know the sky is blue, paint it pink. It doesn't have to be exactly right. The kids are either too regimented and they don't know how to have fun or feel love, or they're the opposite. They're well-rounded. They understand things. They have a comment to say about something. And the reading is the best way for them to learn practically anything. I loved reading to my kids. It was a time to be special with either the both of them, that they were the same age for the book, or privately to just sit with them and find out what's on their little head, you know?
Well, it's that special time, and I can still remember, you know, reading to the kids and the world that opened up and talking about the story. And there's a time when you have the child to read the book and they're reading it to you and then you're discussing it.
Right.
It's a very important time, and Deborah opens up that for maybe rediscovering it for some people, discovering it for others. In this book, Flight of the Balloon, Deborah Magna is the author, Magna, book available at Amazon. On all of the usual places. In fact, let's talk about that. Where is the book available? And they can follow you. You're all over the place with social media. You've got a number of places that we can find you.
Well, I know it's on Amazon. I'm sure Kindle has it in Barnes & Noble, but you have to order it from Barnes & Noble. It's not in the store. If you want, you can call me directly. Usually my phone number and email's in there. If you want the book, you can call me. I can get it ordered up and make the exchange. That's not a problem. In fact, actually, it would be better for me. But like I said, usually my books get out there by craft shows. For a while, I was doing a lot of craft shows, usually ones that were sponsoring the band from the school or art classes or something that was going to help the school also. And a lot of my books I have put, well, the three books I got, except this last one so far, I have given to my elementary school to put in the library.
Oh, fantastic.
Just to put it in. Yeah, and because I remember I loved the library day when we would go to the library. And it just, I don't know, it was like that 20 minutes or whatever they gave you to sit down and not think of math and not know where California was, you know?
It was a great escape, like, wasn't it? You could just forget all that. Yeah,
exactly.
It was a magical time.
Yeah, they can't be regimented. I mean, granted, some kids do need a schedule. I understand that. But even that, the time that they have free, embrace that time with them. Make something of it, even if you're not reading. It's still something that they need. Kids need love. They grow. The minute they feel love, they grow. And if you're not supplying something for them, either a walk, a book, anything, just talking to them on a one-to-one level.
Well, and you can.
They have to feel that they're doing something that needs to be done and also important, but for their benefit.
And you can create your own story. It's nice to have Deborah's books there, and you can read those and talk about those. It can be less formal. You could be out walking with the child and tell your own story or a message you would like to get across. You think, okay, how would Deborah do this? I can't just say what I want them to do. I need to say it in a way that they won't question it and they will understand it and it will get accomplished. And you can pick up great ideas by reading Deborah's books. Now, the other two children's books, The Ugly Animal at the Zoo, and the book we talked about, The Sandman, A Wish, and The Star, very important messages that you have there, and a great way to introduce children to, well, you deal with adoption. Talk about that very briefly, but that's a very important part of those books.
I have a lot of adopted cousins, and they never were told until later in life, and then was a mistake, because basically the idea was to get the little boy and the little girl adopted, and the Sandman sits on the roof of the orphanage and he hears her crying every night. So he makes a star for her and she finds it and she gives it to her brother and they make one and she puts it around her neck. And as that's happening, the Sandman gives two people that want to adopt a child a star. And they don't know where it came from. They're asking each other, I don't get it. Where did the star come from? And then, like, all day, the woman sees all kinds of stars, metal stars, star here, you know, wooden stars, everything. So they finally decide they're going to go one more time and then give it a break to find children that they want to adopt. And while they're on the playground and the people are going into the orphanage, they spot the two with the star necklace on, and she right away runs over there and drags her husband, and they're talking, and then they talk to the lady and they do adopt them. And the little girl is just ecstatic. So at the end she's crying and the Sandman goes, what now? You know. She says to her brother, oh, we have a puppy, we have a home, you know, we have a swing in the backyard. You know, she just elated that her dream came true. Now, let me say this. I did also say in the book that because they're given a star or because they make something doesn't mean they'll get adopted. But it gives them a chance to think about ways that it could happen, or that gives them more hope that, you know, I'm not being adopted. Well, maybe if I just wear this little trinket, maybe somebody will, you know, think it's cute and want to adopt me. You have to make sure you tell children the opposite also, that there are times when you do things that aren't going to matter no matter what happens.
Yeah, yes.
You know? Yeah, yeah. And I didn't want children to start putting, you know, things around their neck or building things or something, thinking they were going to get adopted, because that's really not the way it works. But it does make keep them busy, and it does keep their mind off of being adopted, because they don't think about it anymore. They got their little thing on,
yes,
and they think it'll take care of everything. So they tend to branch out and not worried about it anymore.
It was
I don't know. I just come up with these things, and the ugly animals at the zoo deals with being mean or like making fun of people. Mostly they make fun of the three animals, and then at the end the three animals are the only ones that come to their aid when they get in trouble. So it doesn't matter if you're a beautiful peacock, if you're afraid to get your feathers wet or you're afraid to have them ruffled, then you're not really all that beautiful. the ones that went to their aid is a snake, a hippo, and a giraffe. Now, the giraffe's got this long neck that the guy, that the little boy decides that, oh, look, his neck is so long he can reach the sky. And the hippo, they just make fun because it's so huge and it just, you know, has no teeth and, you know, the whole deal. And the snake, of course, nobody really likes snakes. And so they make fun of that. Look how slimy he is. Oh, he's ugly, you know. Then they go to their aid. The snake goes down in the hole, tells them, don't be afraid. I'm looking for a way to get you out of here. So then they decide that the hippo can drain all the water with one gulp, and they can cling to the sides like they were doing. And then the giraffe puts his neck way down into the hole, and they climb on his leg or on his neck, and he comes out, and then they're out of the hole. So it's not who's most beautiful or who you think is you want to idolize. I remember my mom telling me, don't get the green-eyed monster, because you don't know what they're really like. So, again, if you have friends that you think, look how good they have it, or, you know, if one kid looks at another kid and goes, oh, you know, well, he's got shoes that I want, but
yes,
they're ugly on him. And, you know, he may have to give you those shoes when his, you know, something happens to him. So it's not black and white. I hate to say, there's no book on raising kids. But it's how you try to interpret what you need them to remember and do and learn is a different way to do it. There's a different way
Your books are a guide for parents, I mean, not only entertaining for the child, but realize there is a different approach. And why are they listening to Deborah telling them that it's okay to do chores, and they won't listen to me when I tell them it's okay to do chores?
Yeah.
So she does that in such a gentle way.
Yeah, it's because it's the mother, and I understand that,
yes,
too. The old, because I said so. What is that?
Exactly. The other two books, by the way, all the books are available. Ugly Animals at the Zoo, The Sandman, A Wish, and The Star, and the book we're talking about today. The book is Flight of the Balloon. I got about a minute or so left here. You're also doing a couple of adult-oriented books as well. Briefly, what are those about, and when can we read those?
Oh, I'm not sure when they're coming out. There's two adult books for adults, and I have two that haven't been published yet, geared for young teens, you know, going steady and all that kind of,
yes,
that kind of thing. So I don't know how to explain them. I really don't. It just came to me. I took, you know, certain things from my junior high school days and connected it with, which was more than, you know, usually adult books are more than, but it's done in a very, it's not like a filth. I'm sorry, I hate to use that word.
Yes.
But it's done in an intimate scenario where it's not Bad. I don't know how they're...
We will look forward to those and hopefully have a chance to talk about those as well. Deborah, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Deborah Magna, M-A-G-N-A, the new book for children and adults, Flight of the Balloon. It's so well done. It will leave a lasting message with the child. It will help shape them as they grow up and take on more responsibilities and learn how to say, I'm sorry, apologize, learn how to do chores and what they're supposed to do. The book is so well written and illustrated as well. The book available wherever books are sold. Her Amazon page on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And I'd like to thank King Pages Press, the author's marketing consultant, results-oriented, making sure that your work gets the attention it truly deserves. Deborah, always a pleasure. Great to have you back on the program. Congratulations on your success in writing these very meaningful children's stories. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And by the way, you'll see the video version of this on YouTube. Our channel is TWIA-TV. Go there, watch, enjoy, and subscribe as well.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.